Tom, do you admit that you fall short of God's standards and that you have turned from doing this, renounced evil, and intend to continue following Christ?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your leader and rescuer?
I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of Jesus' church and to serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
It's a verse for you, Tom, from Timothy. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Tom, having heard of your repentance and your faith, and at your request, we gladly baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you admit that you fall short of God's standards and that you have turned from doing this, renounced evil, and intend to continue following Christ?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your leader and rescuer?
I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of Jesus' church and to serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
Yvonne, a verse for you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well.
Having heard of your repentance and faith, and at your request, we gladly baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who could speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
So, what have we just done? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Just, you know, take a couple of people and push them underwater. And then everybody goes, "Yay!" No wonder they think we're nuts. But this is baptism, and we're trying to get it right. See, this is all about being included. And when you think about it, that's something that you've always wanted. Being on the outside, wanting to be on the inside. It's something we all go through whenever we meet a group of people. It's what we've all felt we wanted at some point. Not all the time. I mean, there are bunches of weirdos out there. Don't get me wrong. but you feel as though you don't fit in. Whether you are looking at a church or a group, even in the family, you can feel like you're an outsider. And you ask your parents, was I adopted? Am I the only one that's asked that one? Probably. Okay. If we didn't want it, at least we wanted the option to be included. You know, someone to say, come on in. You can be part of us. It's a nice feeling, isn't it, when someone says that to you, rather than always feeling on the outside. Well, in this story that we read from the Bible, that's what this Ethiopian was asking. What stands in the way of me being included? It's the question an outsider asks an insider, isn't it? What stands in the way? A business asks it of Amazon's marketplace. What stands in the way of me getting in there and selling my wares through your company? A football player asks it of a prospective team they want to join. A child asks it from a group in a playground. What stands in the way? What do I need to do to join this group? It's asked by those who see the benefits. You know, a group of children playing in the playground, and they're all having great fun, and you want to be part of it. Or a group at the church, all having wonderful fellowship together. And yeah, I want to be part of that. What do I need to do to join in that group and get the benefits of it? And that's the question that's asked in this passage. The guy has been to Jerusalem and found that he was excluded. That he couldn't be an insider with God. He may have been Jewish, we don't know. And he went to worship in Jerusalem. But there was a restriction, and he didn't make the grade. The Old Testament banned him from worshiping God at the temple. He was a eunuch, and eunuchs were excluded from the circle of worshippers in Jerusalem. It probably wasn't his fault, but it was his lot in life, and he couldn't undo it. In modern terms, you'd say he didn't have the credit score to get the best deal. In fact, to get any deal with God. So as a consolation prize, he buys himself a scroll of the book of Isaiah. You've got to be pretty desperate to buy a scroll of Isaiah. Okay? It's a big one. And he buys this scroll. And the habit back then was, you know, he did it for a bit of reading on the way home. So he goes from Jerusalem. He's going all the way down through Egypt, all the way up the Nile to the far end of Egypt. And he buys himself a book for the journey. Of course, you've never done that kind of thing, have you? You know, he buys himself a book. This is in the form of a scroll. And back then, the custom was that the person with the book read it to everyone, because books were scarce, okay, and not many people could read. So the custom was, as you went along, you read it out loud. So he's reading this book out loud to these people, and it's not exactly a riveting read, okay, but he's reading this. A lot of it is in poetical form, okay, so he's trying to read Hebrew poetry as he's bouncing along in his chariot, trying to get something out of it, knowing that he's excluded. But he wants something. There's something within him. He longs for it. He longs for that companionship, that touch from God that other people seem to have, but he's missed out. And that's when Philip turns up. Of course, you may be a person like that. You've read the scriptures and it tells you perfect people get into heaven. And you ain't that. You've read forgiven people get into heaven, but you don't feel forgiven. You feel on the outside wondering if there's any way in for you. And the passage the man is reading is from Isaiah 53, and it gives him the answer, but it's not in a form that he understands. If you read the scriptures that he's actually got in front of you, all you find is Philip is there to give him a hand. Isaiah, in one of four servant songs, is saying, one day, God's servant will come and he will be a game changer. Outsiders can become insiders because of him. He will show the way to God. Sins will be paid for. People will be forgiven. They will know what it is to be restored to God. This is what this guy was longing for. But he'd been excluded because of his circumstances. As far as he was concerned, his life had been blown and there was no way back. And he's reading from this and Philip says, look, this is one of the servant songs where the servant will come along and change things. And he will suffer for it. But God will vindicate him. And Philip tells him the good news about Jesus. Jesus is the game changer. He was God's son, born in Bethlehem in extraordinary circumstances. He taught about God in a way that no other had. He did miracles and healed the sick. When people met him, they were made whole. Life made sense because they were engaged with Jesus. He assured people of God's forgiveness. He was killed, but God raised him from the dead. He told us to go and go everywhere and tell people the good news, that they can be followers by believing and being baptized. It's in Matthew 28, by the way. You can be a follower by believing and being baptized. And he told him some more good news, that he poured out his spirit on all his followers and he ascended into glory to await the time to come again to judge all mankind. All these things and more, he tells the man in the chariot as he's riding along. In other words, he can make outsiders insiders. And that's good news for you and me. Well, it's certainly good news for me. Because I've felt like an outsider for a long time, in various ways. You know, the 12th man on the team of 11. You know, the person that's not quite made it. Or when they did get in the team, it was, you don't know why you got in. Because other people can play better than you. And it seemed to be random. And here was this game changer who we later find out is named Jesus, who can make outsiders insiders. And that's you and me. And the guy asks, what stands in the way of me being included? Because he already knows in the back of his head, there's always exclusions. He traveled hundreds of miles to go up to the temple only to find out that the door was barred. He wanted to be a worshiper of God, but nope, you're not allowed in here. He knew there were always exclusions. He knew that some people were disqualified from full participation because of who they were or what had happened to them or the choices they had made. In Jerusalem, only Jews were allowed in. Only men could get closer than women, and lepers were not allowed through the gates, and eunuchs like himself were banned from participation in worship. And you can think to yourself, well, I've got a load of stuff that bans me. But today I want to tell you good news. You can be included. I know all the junk going on in your head and in your heart, and all the junk you've been through, but today you can be included. And this guy sees the benefits of being in, and he wants to know if he'll be accepted. Just like you see the benefits of being accepted and loved by God, but you worry about whether the bar is low enough for you to get in. Because you want to drag your stuff in there as well. And sometimes your stuff won't fit. And Philip's answer is written between the lines. Oh, yes, it is. Because if you read it carefully up there, you'll find it went from verse 36 to verse 38, and it missed out verse 37. That's because we think, it's only in Western Bibles, and it's not in Eastern Bibles. And we think that someone's actually said, oh, we better put in what he actually did there, okay, and gave a bit of liturgy in it. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, okay, then you can be baptized. He says, I believe. But it's not in the original. It's left for you to work it out. I think that's the way Luke works when he writes. He sort of leaves you saying, well, how come he was included? And you go back to the good news. If you believe and receive, you're in. And that's what's happened here. Philip's answer is there. Verse 37 is not in the earlier manuscripts. Nothing needs to stand in your way is the answer that Philip gives. Nothing. It's a gift God is willing to give you through Christ, and it requires your faith. If he had continued to read the good news, that would have affirmed him. If he'd carried on reading his Bible, and that was chapter 53, if he'd got to chapter 56, it explicitly says, and eunuchs will be included. You read it, it's in chapter 56 of Isaiah. Eunuchs will be included. Outsiders will be included. You know, people of other faiths will be included. They will all come in. You don't have to become Jewish to get the benefits of this game changer. You can come directly in. And the game changer is Jesus. When my servant has done his job, it's Isaiah 56 verses 1 to 8. Eunuchs and foreigners will be included. So you sit there and you think, am I included? And the answer is yes, if you want to be. So he gets baptized. Baptism is the first act of obedience God is looking for when it comes to access through Jesus. The first act of obedience. You want to come through the door? Get baptized. And then he continues on his way. In one sense, nothing has changed. He's still a eunuch. He's still in the employ of Kandake. He's still got a job. He's still in his chariot. He's still treasurer. He's still up in the Upper Nile region. He's still black. Yeah, he was. We think so. It's in his name. Oh, you haven't got his name yet, have you? Let me tell you about him. So in one sense, nothing has changed. And in another sense, everything has changed. He has Christ. He has the Holy Spirit of God. He knows forgiveness. And he knows what it is to be included by God. Church history tells us he was called Simeon or Simon Bakos. His actual full name in church history is Simon Bakos the eunuch, just in case we forget. Church history tells us that he founded the church in Ethiopia and became the first bishop there. Others tell us that he was the same as Simeon called Niger or Simon the Black. In Acts 13, he was part of the leadership team of Antioch Church, along with Paul and Barnabas. I don't know how he got out of the employment business, but that's another link. It's in Acts 13. The thing is, this outsider became an insider with God on that day. And you go, no, sure, you've got to do something more than that. You've got to do something more than believe and be baptized. No, anyone can do it. It's a matter of faith, not a matter of you working your passage. That act of obedience led to more acts of obedience and more affirmations of his inclusion. And that's what obedience does. You obey once and it gives you such a feel-good factor, such an enjoyment of God's presence, you want to do it again. And you find you start excluding sinful behavior from your life because it pleases God. And you get a buzz from it. And you start praying because it does you good. And you read your Bible even though you don't understand it because it does you good. And you find yourself getting more and more centered on the Jesus of the Bible. So I'm going to explode a couple of myths for you now about baptism. First one, baptism makes you a Christian. Not true. Dunking you in water doesn't change anything. It is the response of a person of faith that a person of faith gives to God's request for you to be obedient by being baptized. Jesus said, go and make disciples from all people, not just Jews. He then followed that by saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he had commanded them. That's recorded in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. So that's what Phillips has done, and that's what this man is called to do. So Philip is out there with this bloke talking about being a follower of Jesus, and he says, I want to be in. But baptism, dunking you in water, doesn't make you a Christian. It's an act of faith that invites God into your life. Another myth. Baptism is a private act between you and God. Not true. It's something public. It's a declaration to others as well as to God of your commitment. It says, I belong here. I'm included here. And it gives God the chance to say yes to affirm you in Christ. That you feel anointed. Jesus shows us the way on this one. When he was baptized, he didn't need to be. He wanted to be. And he did it publicly. And John the Baptist is going, you don't need baptism. He says, yeah, let me do it. And that's what happens to a Christian. It's not a private act, it's a public one. Another one, baptism is optional for believers. And again, I've got to say, not true. Your Bible doesn't say that. If you become a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, then the test of that obedience is baptism. Jesus calls us all to be baptized, not as a magical act, but as a test of obedience. Will you be baptized? Salvation is by faith alone, but baptism is the response of faith. When it was made into an act of admission for children to become part of the church, which we call christening, it was also followed up with confirmation. Your parents made your promises, and you confirmed those promises later on. You will have to decide what's right for you before God, because I don't have to stand and say, were you christened as an infant? Did you get confirmed? You've got to make your own public declaration of faith somewhere. Because that's what this is about. And just in case you think I'm just being a Baptist, the depth of the water really doesn't matter. Okay? It can be a teaspoonful or it can be a whole big baptistry like this. It can be the ocean if you want it to be. The depth of the water doesn't matter. It's the act of faith that matters. If you're baptized by immersion, that's great. But if you've been done by sprinkling or pouring, then talk to God about it. Was it a public declaration of faith? I'm pretty sure God is going to say, I've got better things to do than to go through your baptism all over again. You've made your commitment. We did it publicly. I want you to serve Christ. And then the next one is, it matters who baptizes you. Because there are some churches where it does matter. But according to the Bible, it's not true. Paul made it very plain that this isn't true. What matters is the presence of God and the responses of the obedient and the obedience of your heart. And here's one that I really want to debunk. When you're baptized, you stop sinning. Oh, how I wish that was true. But you don't. In fact, if anything, it goes worse. You realize how much you fall short and how dependent you are on that thing called the grace of God, the undeserved favor of God to say, I know you're a sinner, but I love you anyway. I know you keep falling short, but that doesn't stop you being forgiven and an insider. Just stop pretending you're better than you are, because God hates pretense. So, you know, I use the word scumbag in this church to describe people like me who admit themselves that they're not good enough. And maybe you're a scumbag too. But it's okay, because God is a God of grace. That doesn't excuse sinful behavior, but it does say God is for you. So the question is baptism for you? Maybe you shouldn't be baptized. After all, you've not encountered God as we have. You don't know him. And you're going, no, I shouldn't be baptized. True. You don't know God yet, like we know God. You don't know what it is to receive the love and the forgiveness of God, and you're not interested in it. That's okay. You're not ready. I just hope for the day when God knocks on your life. Maybe you should be baptized. That's between you and God. I'm not going to come and try and convince you. If you want to explore it, then we've got booklets on it, and we can pray with you and talk with you about it. But that's between you and God. But maybe you're one of those people that has been baptized, but you've forgotten that you promised to follow and obey the Spirit. You don't need to be baptized again. You just need to obey the next time he speaks to you, and you'll find you're back on the road again, and the joy will return. That is the walk of faith that we're on, and it's a great walk. It gives you the highest highs in life. And sometimes it gives you the lowest lows when you realize you've let God down, you've let yourself down, and you're at the bottom of the barrel. And then the miracle happens where the hand of God comes and rescues you and say, I know and I still love you. Walk with me. It's great, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it a great thing to walk with God like that? To not be a person who pretends to be something else, but just receives the grace of God in Christ. That is why I'm a Christian. And the presence of God assures me that I'm still there, even after all this time of stuffing it up.